Welcome to Black Snake Bites. I'm your host, Tech Sergeant Kathleen LaCourte. Today, I'm excited to share with you our visitor, Mr. J.P. Smith, otherwise known affectionately as J.P. the Benefits Guy. And he has so much to share with us today. He's the State Transition Assistance Advisor for the state of Indiana and the Midwest Regional Supervisor in how many states is it?
Five states.
So Indiana, Kentucky,
Missouri, Tennessee, and Utah.
And a national trainer. Can you explain what that is?
So we have 104 transition assistance advisors spread out across the country. Mm-hmm. And when they come to the onboarding, so whenever we hire them, their level of knowledge of benefits is, you know, varied. So it's my responsibility to make sure they are up to speed on all the new changes and they all have slightly more than an average knowledge base of each program.
Okay. Your background and history, you spent 23 years active Army?
Correct. Yeah, I did. Okay. 23 years in the regular Army as a tank commander, also drill sergeant and recruiter, and I retired quite a while ago. I won't tell you.
Retired as an E-8. So you have so much background in the military yourself, and then also the first time I ever met you was I was getting ready to deploy to Africa. My friend and I were sitting in your class at a Yellow Ribbon event, and there was so much information you shared about military benefits. And I was like, whoa, we both said to each other afterward, that is so much good information. And we made sure to get your email and your phone number because we were like, there's so much here that we're definitely going to have more questions. So I'm excited to have you talk to our Black Snake audience today about all this stuff. And we may have to do take one and take two just to cover all of it. But can we start today with education benefits? Because that's a big topic for Indiana military families, for the service member as well as their spouse and their children. So can we get into that?
Definitely. So the interesting part about it is there are so many programs that not only do you need to know the programs, but you need to know which ones you should use and which ones you should use first, which ones can you be used simultaneously. So it's really multi-layered. So as an example, our reserve and guard service members, of course, when they join, as long as they enlist for at least a six-year enlistment, you know, they all qualify for the Montgomery Job Bill Select Reserve, or 1606. And then while they're in the service, depending upon which branch they're in, they may qualify for federal tuition assistance.
Okay.
And then, of course, if they're guard, then they have the National Guard Scholarship. And then if they have active duty time that qualifies, then they would qualify for the post-9/11 GI Bill Chapter 33. But then if they were prior active duty, they could also qualify for Chapter 30. So you've got Chapter 1606, you've got Chapter 30, you've got Chapter 33, you've got federal tuition assistance, you got the National Guard Scholarship. So it's a complex area of expertise.
Not the only reason, but one of the reasons that I joined the military was for the education benefits. Yep. I didn't have money to go to school, and I really wanted to get a degree. You know, it was just one of the options that I considered when I decided whether or not the military was the right thing for me.
Right.
And it turned out to be a great thing overall, not just for education. But I think this is really important for people to hear that are considering the military to understand that all of these benefits that are available and how to also, if you're new to the military, how to plan out your career to understand, okay, if I spend this many years in the military, if I plan to have kids in the future, like how is this going to benefit me? And you can kind of be smart about it, like you were saying at the beginning, to make judicial decisions and plan it out and say, okay, when I hit this year mark, I know this is the benefit that I will have. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So like my job title is transition. So the four transitions that I focus on are when they leave the service for their initial enlistment, any medical separations, pre and post deployments, yellow ribbons, mm-hmm. and then retirement. And I tell people, you need to be preparing for those transitions years before they happen.
Right.
So if you're a brand new service member that joined for 6 years, you should already be planning for ETS. right? What do I need to accomplish prior to my 6 years? What am I going to lose at the 6 years? What am I going to gain at the 6 years? You can never plan for medical retirement, but, you know, retirement in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need to be, you know, planning that stuff out. And especially if you're within 5 years of retirement and you haven't reached out to a transition assist advisor, shame on you. You know, just shame on you.
Okay. So can we go through one by one, which each of those
So let's talk about reserve and guard first.
Okay.
So for any enlisted soldier that joins the reserve or the guard that signs up for at least a six-year enlistment. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people don't know, sometimes you can join a reserve branch and do a 3x5, a 5x3, or the standard is the 6x2, which means how many years of serving in uniform, and then if you get out, how many years you're in the inactive ready reserve. So as long as you sign up for at least the six-year enlistment, then you're qualified for the 1606.
Okay.
That's the Montgomery Job Bill Select Reserve. It's very important that you use Select Reserve because all three of them are GI bills. So if you don't use a proper term, you might get the wrong answer for your question.
Okay.
So with the Montgomery GI Bill Select Reserve Chapter 1606, it's a very simple program. It's a flat stipend that comes directly to the service member. And it's important to understand that it does not go through the school. It goes directly to service member. Up until last week, it was $481 a month. It just went up a couple percent, and I don't have that new number memorized. I think it's like $496,
okay,
but don't hold me to that one. And what that means is if the student is a full-time student, which at a traditional school is 12 semester hours, and it's a full calendar month, they'll get the check for $481 a month. If they're a partial student, in other words, if they take 9 semester hours, 6 semester hours, or 3 semester hours, it's prorated. A good thing to know about the 1606 is if you don't go full-time, and let's just say you just take 6 semester hours, technically you're at a 50% student, so you're going to get 50% of the 481. But the positive side of that is you only used 50% of that month, so you only used half of one of your 36 months. And by the way, you get 36 months of benefits with that program. So 36 months of benefits, $481 a month. Every month you're a full-time student for a full month. So if the month started in, if you started class August 15th, of course you'd only get 50% of that benefit.
Okay.
And then it's very important to understand that when you get out of uniform, that benefit's done. You do not take anything with you that's not used. So it's only while you're in uniform.
Okay.
All
right. So it's a select reserve benefit. Does that also apply to the guard?
Yeah, so I'm a reserve component transition assist advisor. Mm-hmm. A lot of guard members say, well, I'm not in the reserves. Well, actually, the guard is a reserve component. So one of the reserve components of the military is the guard, the Army Guard and Air Guard. So it is a reserve component. It's just a state component,
okay,
which is why they call it the guard.
Awesome. And then that money, it can be used for rent? Can it be used for books?
Great question. So that's why you need to know that it's a stipend that comes directly to the student. So regardless of how expensive or how inexpensive the school is, or if you have a full scholarship, that's totally up to your discretion. So that money can be used for whatever you choose.
Okay.
So the next GI Bill benefit, which I'll just hit briefly, which is Chapter 30, which is the Montgomery GI Bill.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the actual GI Bill, so Montgomery GI Bill. So this is still to this day given to active duty soldiers. So when you join the regular Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Space Force, you technically get the Chapter 30. Nobody really ever uses it because you also qualify for Chapter 33. So Chapter 33 is the post 9/11. So once you get out of the service, you just apply for your post 9/11. And so Chapter 30 is old soldiers, which is almost extinct now, would use that. And then, but now, even though they still qualify for Chapter 30, they're given, it's actually Chapter 33 post 9/11.
Okay.
So we're not going to talk about 30 very much at all. So we're going to move right into post 9/11. Mm-hmm. So this is an extremely complex program. So first of all, We just finished talking about the 1606. So the one major benefit of the post 9/11 is this is the only benefit where you have the potential to transfer it to your family members. 1606, Chapter 30, neither one of those, you have an option. So some people think they can just use their 1606 when they're in the reserves and give it to their family. That's definitely not the case.
Okay.
So the post 9/11 Chapter 33 is the only program that can be transferred to your dependents. The other thing about post 9/11 is it's earned in percentages. So especially if we're talking reserve and guard, so in order for to qualify for the post 9/11 at 100% of the benefit, you have to have at least 36 months of qualifying federal active duty time. And I always say qualifying federal active duty time because what you think might count towards active duty time doesn't necessarily count towards post 9/11. So Title 10 is like a catch-all. So if it's Title 10, if you're regular military, those count, AGR. But when you start talking about ADOS, state deployments, orders, AT, drill.
Title 32.
Yeah, Title 32. Those don't normally count. Now, that's what I call 100% accurate and 100% inaccurate because there are some things that may count in there. For example, you have a Title 32 order called 502 Foxtrot. And if there's three situations where those count towards post-9/11 GI Bill, and that's if you were deployed during COVID, if it was during the Southwest Border Mission or the Washington, D.C. Mission. But those were specific executive orders, and that's why those orders, even though they're not Title 10, since they were executive orders, they do count towards your post-9/11. Understand, they only count towards post-9/11 and VA home loans. It does not qualify you for your veteran status or VA health care. So, again, it gets complicated.
It is very complicated.
Yeah, so you hear, well, it counts towards active duty. Well, no, it doesn't count towards active duty. It counts towards your active duty requirement for post-9/11 or VA home loans.
Okay.
So, just so you know, those aren't Title 10 orders, but they do count towards those two benefits. So, getting back to the 36 months, there's also two other ways you qualify for it 100% is if you have a Purple Heart or if you were separated from the service due to a disability. In other words, if you were medical discharged and you had at least 30 days of active duty. And the reason for those two is you may not have 36 months of active duty, but obviously if you had a Purple Heart, you didn't have the opportunity to go 36 months. And if you were kicked out for something caused by the military discharge, it wasn't your fault. You didn't have a chance to get 36. So that's why those two also immediately qualify at 100%. But other than that, the normal service members, there's a chart. So it takes at least 90 cumulative days of qualifying federal active duty to qualify for post 9/11, but you qualify at the 50% level.
Okay.
All right. So first, what does 50% mean? So in order for you to tell me what those mean, I first need to tell you what benefits you get at the 100% level. So at the 100% level, post-11 GI Bill pays 100% of your tuition with a caveat. It pays up to $1,000 a school year for books, and it gives you a stipend each month equal to E5 with dependents wherever you live while you're going to school. Okay, and there's little nuances to each one of those, but that's just the general statement. So 100% tuition, up to $1,000 a year for books, and a stipend, which is equal to BH E5 with dependents from where you're living while you're going to school. So with that being said, if you do 90 days of qualifying active duty, and that's all you have, you qualify for the post 9/11, you get the full 36 months of benefits, but you only get 50% of the tuition paid, you get 50% of the book money, and you get 50% of the stipend. Some people think if I'm at 50%, I only get 18 months instead of 36 months. You get the full 36 months, but you only get 50% of the benefit. Okay?
Okay.
So now going through the tiers of the benefits. So 90 days is 50%. 180 days is 60%. 18 months is 70%. 24 months is 80%, 30 months is 90%, and then like we said, the 36 months is 100%. So that's what's unique about the post 9/11 is you can earn it, but you can earn it in different percentages, which is very important because the average reserve guard member doesn't have more than 36 months of, we'll say, deployment Title 10 time. So it's very important they understand that. So that's the basic benefit. It gets complicated because when I told you it pays 100% tuition, there's a cap. And again, that cap just changed, again, October 1st. I don't have the new number. It's right at $28,000 a year.
And
I'm sorry I didn't have the number memorized, but it just changed this week. So, but it's roughly $28,000 a year. So what that means is any state school, public school, is going to be under $28,000 a year. So that's pretty established. But we have service members and family members that may want to go to a Harvard, a Yale, other private schools that exceed $28,000. So it won't pay more than the $28,000. Now, what you also need to know is there's a special program called the Yellow Ribbon Program. Now, we're talking Yellow Ribbon as it associates with post 9/11. So what that program is, if you're attending a private university which exceeds that $28,000 a year, if you ask that school, are you a Yellow Ribbon institution, and they say yes, that means they've came to a contractual agreement with the VA where anything over that $28,000, the school's going to pay 50% and the VA is going to pay 50%. So technically, that student can go to a Harvard or a Yale for free.
Is there a website that gives a listing of these different institutions that are part of the Yellow Ribbon?
Yeah. If you just go to va.gov under education, there's comparison tools, there's lists of all the universities. So they're all there. But the best thing I would do is, because you never know if it's updated or whatever, whatever institution you're looking at going to, call that institution and ask them.
Okay.
Go right to the source.
That's really good information.
So that's another way to help pay for more of the tuition. Now, since we were focused on reserve and guard, I need to make sure you understand that the only way the service member or the dependent can use that Yellow Ribbon program is if the service member qualified for post 9/11 at the 100% level. So if you're a guard or reserve member with less than 3 years of qualifying active duty and you're at like the 60, 70, 80, 90%, you do not qualify for the Yellow Ribbon program.
Okay, that's an important distinction to remember.
Yep.
Okay.
So then let's talk about the number one benefit of the post 11 is being able to transfer that to your dependents. So I'll give you the four rules. If you understand the rules, you can apply the rules to every scenario.
Okay.
So the first thing is you have to already have qualified for the post 9/11 before you can transfer it. So if you're pre-deploying, you don't qualify yet. You have to wait till after your orders. The second thing is you have to already have a dependent. So if you're not married or have a child, obviously you can't transfer those benefits. And the third one is an important one. You have to already have completed 6 years of combined service. So if you have reserve time, guard time, active time, whatever, as long as it equals 6 years or more, you meet that criteria. And then the final one is you have to have 4 years remaining of service obligation.
Okay.
So the day you decide to transfer, once you meet the previous three requirements, you have to do 4 additional years. So if you're a service member, a young service member, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're not going to stay in past your 6, 8, 9, or even, you know, up to 10 years, you know that transferring the benefits is just not an option.
So the inactive time on your...
Does not count.
Does not count.
No. Toward serving that. Time.
Okay.
Yep. Serving time. Can be reserve or guard, but not IRR.
Okay.
Good question. So that's the requirements to transfer the benefits. And then for those of you that may have already transferred your benefits, you may have not done it, we'll say, the best way. And when I say the best way, Milk Connect is where you go to transfer those benefits. So the website to do it is Milk Connect. Everybody has access to that. But the one rule that everybody hears is that, hey, make sure you give at least 1 month to each one of your dependents. Okay? That's exactly correct. But that is like the lowest bar possible. So there are a lot of flaws to that. As an example, you're married, you have 2 children. And when I say give a month to each one of your dependents, that usually means I'm going to give 1 to each one of my kids, okay? Well, just so you know, you have a spouse, right?
Right.
And you may say, well, my spouse is never going to go back to college. It's just not going to happen. We've already had that discussion. My spouse is not going back to college. Okay. So just so you know, spouses change their mind. All right. So if you're out of the service, you cannot add anybody to the program. So if you didn't add them to the program before you got out, they can never participate. So let's just say you do your 20 years, your spouse says they're never going to go to college. Then you get out and get all this personal time, and your spouse says, you know what, I need to take a little break from my significant other. Let me go to school. And then you're the one that's got to tell that spouse that, you know, you can't go to school because you told me you didn't want it.
Right.
Well, it's never their fault. It's always your fault, right?
Right.
So the thing you do is you always give the spouse a month. That way, if life changes, they change their mind, stuff happens, you have that option. And all the months you do give out can always be maneuvered around all the people that you've given at least 1 month to.
Okay.
So just because you give 12, 12, and 12 means nothing, because they're always your benefits. You can redistribute those for life. As long as they haven't been used, you can still redistribute them.
Okay.
So giving the spouse a month is mandatory. Now, if you were the person that said, okay, I got three dependents, I gave each one of them a month, but everybody's young, so I'm just going to keep the other 33 in my name, and once they decide who's going to school and who's not going to school, then I'll determine who gets more months. The problem with that is, if by chance you were to pass away, those 33 months that you still have in your name, they're gone. They go with you to the grave. So you give out all of your months to the best of your ability. That way, if you do pass away, at least they have the months. And there's a new policy out where if you gave months to a dependent, that dependent has the ability to give any or all of their months to any of the other dependents that are also in the program.
Okay, so in the event that, God forbid, you passed away, that dependent that you transferred those benefits to could then, in your absence, decide to split up those months to other dependents.
That you had already given at least 1 month to.
Okay.
Right. Or you passed away and you gave 12 months to each one of your three children, mm-hmm. and one of those children decide, you know what, I'm not going to school, so they can give them to the other dependent.
Okay.
But they have to be in the system. That's the key. If they didn't get a month, they can't share the months.
Okay.
And that's a newer program.
So it sounds like the key here is, as soon as you qualify for this benefit, what you want to do is go into the system and put all of your dependents into the system and give them at least 1 month. Is that correct?
Give them all of your months.
All of your months.
With at least 1 month. Yeah,
with
give
it.
All
okay.
the months out to include your spouse. Yes. And then there's another caveat to that before I forget, and that's to keep 1 month for yourself. And we're going to talk about that in a second.
Okay.
All right? So yes, you give out, and that's probably the most important thing that I need everybody to understand, is if you've already met the four rules. So if you've already have a deployment time, you already have 90 days, you already have a dependent, you have at least 6 years of service, and you're pretty confident that you're going to do four more years, you need to immediately transfer your benefits, because that starts that 4 year clock.
Okay.
So once that 4 years done, if life happens, it doesn't matter. You've already done your 4 years. Too many people say, well, I'll wait till I get like 15 or 16 years in, and then my last 4 years, I'll just transfer it, and then life happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of reasons why people get out of the service, you know, at 15, 18, 19 years. So if you do procrastinate, then you've wasted those benefits. And if you do sign up to that extra 4 years and something outside of your control happens, the military does have the right, and in most cases, lets you continue to transfer those benefits because it was something outside of your control, like a medical separation.
Okay.
You get injured. You didn't have a chance to finish your 4 years. As long as you'd started it before they board process, they can waive that 4 years.
Okay, that's so really important to know.
Yeah, immediately, if you meet those four criteria, if you're out here now and you met that four criteria and you haven't transferred your benefits yet, hit pause and go to Mil Connect.
Awesome. Okay.
Right. So that's just scratching the surface of post 9/11. Oh, and one more thing. I mentioned with 1606 that if you only use a portion of that month, you only use a portion of the benefit. That's not the case with post 9/11. So if you sign up for a normal semester, which is four semester hours, and you decide you just want to take introduction to college orientation, which is only worth one semester hour, but you just want to take that just to get familiar with school for the first semester. You just use 4 of your 36 months benefits, and you got 1 month. You got one semester hour of credit. So it doesn't matter how many hours you take, you use the whole portion of that benefit.
Okay.
So that's very important to understand. And then another thing about the BEH or the stipend. So for those of you that are thinking about going part-time and using your post 9/11, you still get the book money, you still get the tuition money, but you have to exceed 50% to get any stipend. So if you go part-time or you go full-time and drop classes down to 6 semester hours, you don't get 50% of your stipend, you get zero. So to get any stipend at all, you have to exceed 50%. That means more than 6 hours, not 6 hours.
Okay.
Very important.
And then the stipend, so regardless of what rank you are while you're receiving this benefit, just say you were E3 or an E8, you're always going to get, or a general,
yep,
you'd always get the E5 with dependent
rate. That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's very important. And then, so the last education benefit I want to talk about, which isn't part of the GI Bill, is, and we didn't talk about tuition assistance because that's something that's in service that mm-hmm. differs between different branches.
Right.
But the last one is for service members that have a disability. Okay. And this is for currently serving Reserve Guard members, but nobody that's on active duty. So you cannot be on active duty. So this program is called Chapter 31, Veterans Readiness and Employment, usually referred to as VRNE. So Chapter 31, VRNE, Veterans Readiness and Employment. So you need to understand this is technically an employment program. All right, so it is definitely an employment program. And there's 5 chapters within this program, and one of them is called Long-Term Training to Employment. In other words, most people that don't have a job probably need to get either additional training or education so they can get in that field. So because of that, you get your school or your training paid for. So the minimum criteria for this, before I tell you what it offers, the minimum criteria is a 20% VA disability rating. All right. Now, just to let you know, there are 10% disabilities that will qualify you for this program as well. So 20%, it doesn't matter what the reason is, but certain 10% may inhibit your ability to get certain work. So some 10% may qualify you. So baseline is 20%, but exceptions with some 10%. All right.
How do you find out the exception? Is that something you'd work with the VA on?
Yes. As soon as you, everything is on va.gov, just so you know.
Okay.
So you go on va.gov, education, apply for benefits, and it's going to ask you which education benefit, and you're going to select which one of the chapters we talked about. In this case, you're going to select Chapter 31. And that basically immediately notifies your local VRNE counselor that you want to apply for the program, and then they will reach out to you and set up an appointment for your first interview.
Okay.
So that's how the process works. So let's talk about what comes with the program. This is what just blows my mind. So 100% tuition, no cap. All right? All of your books, 100% books, no cap. You get a brand new laptop, and it pays for administrative supplies and any equipment that you need to attend school based on your disability. Like if you have carpal tunnel of your wrist, it'll buy the little special mouses and wrist pads. If you have back problems, they'll buy you a special chair for your desk at home. If you have to stand, it'll buy you a collapsible desk. Anything that is required because of your disability.
Right.
Then it buys you a brand new laptop, all right? And a part that's really, well, let's talk about the stipend first, and it comes with a stipend, all right?
Okay.
So the stipend varies based on dependents. So, and again, it just changed again 1 October, so I don't know the exact number, but if you're single, it's a little bit over $800 a month. If you're married, it's just under $1,000 a month. So the whole, and it's up to 48 months. So the whole time you're in this training or in college, at the university, you're going to get that stipend of at least $900 a month. Now, remember when I told you need to keep 1 month of post 9/11 in your name?
Yes.
This is very important. This is why it's so important. If you have one day of post 9/11 benefits in your name, the entire 48 months you're in this program, instead of you getting the flat rate of, we'll say, $900 a month, you get the full stipend E5 with dependents. So in this area in Indianapolis, it's like $1,800 a month. So instead of you getting $900 a month, you get $1,800 a month.
That's a big difference.
It's a big difference for one day of post 9/11. So that's why you always keep 1 month in your name, just so you've got that in your back pocket. You don't need to have one day of post 9/11, but if you do, you get the kicker. So just understand that. So 100% tuition, 100% books, administrative supplies, laptop, any equipment that's needed based on your disability, and the stipend, either the 900 or the BHE5 with dependents. And then another kicker, which is just a really cool program, and I tell very few stories when I do my briefing because I think that gets off track, but I have to tell you a real-life example. So my daughter, she is also an Army veteran. Actually, she was also an Army drill sergeant, and she got out of the service, and she lives in Boise, Idaho, and she went to school to be a small-engine sports vehicle mechanic. In other words, she's in Boise working on snowmobiles and motorcycles, living a dream.
Wow, so right? Cool.
So cool. The reason I tell this story is this is basically a mechanic course, so it's taught in a big garage. The first day you show up, there were like 40 students, and there are 40 Snap-on toolboxes lined up, just basic toolboxes. You have to have the exact same toolbox to participate in this program, and it was $7,500 at a discount price. So $7,500, you don't sign up for the toolbox, you don't start the class. So since it's mandatory equipment, it's also covered by the VR&E program. So she got the $7,500 toolbox for free. You take the digital photography, mandatory, you have to have your own camera and lens. Guess how much you pay for your camera and lens? Zero.
That's incredible.
Yeah, you take welding, you have to have all your welding attire. Zero. You're in accounting class, we have to have a special calculator, or you're in an advanced IT class where you need an advanced computer, paid for 100%. So think about that. You're a Reserve Guard member. Mm-hmm. You don't have any active duty time. All you're getting is your 1606, which is $480 a month. Or, you know, you have ringing the ears and another small disability. You have 20% disability, and now you have all that stuff paid for.
So. Wow. And how many months is that cover? You said
up to 48 months.
Up to 48 months.
So it's based on the program that they approved you for that training.
Okay.
Now, the one disqualifying factor for VR&E is, so remember, it's an employment program. So that you're going to say, hey, I need a job. This is the field that I want to get into. And then they're going to have you do research to make sure it's a viable job, that it's hiring. And you make an income substantial enough to support your family. So you've got to do all this labor research and school research and employment research to make sure it's a viable job. Because they're only going to approve you to go to these schools if the job is a real job.
Right.
Like underwater brain surgery is not a good option.
Right.
So just as an example, if you're looking for something crazy that is one per state, it's not going to be approved. All right. But the second thing is the job that you pick, if that job aggravates any of your current disabilities, obviously
that's not
going to be approved.
It's a no-go.
Right. So like let's just say you have a bad back and you want to go to a vocational school on heavy equipment mechanic. They're not going to approve that because that's going to aggravate your disability. That makes no sense. So,
right.
And then if you already have a degree or an advanced degree or you're already in a very good job, then of course you're already employable. You already have a degree for employability. So those are obstacles. So that initial interview with that counselor, you need to understand your verbiage. So if you're in Indiana, I highly recommend if you want to participate in that program, you reach out to me and give me your spiel so I can make sure you're not using any words that are going to get you disqualified, or just make sure you can package it so that it's more presentable to the VR&E counselor.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Okay. And that benefit is not transferable to any family members.
No.
That's primarily
that's just for the
service
yeah,
members.
Yeah, it's a disabled veterans program to help you get a job.
Okay.
So that's what that is. And then the last education benefit, talk about real quick, is also tied to disability, but this is for the dependents, okay, the spouses and children. That's Chapter 35, otherwise known as DEA, which is the Survivor and Disabled that disabled, the Survivor and Dependents Education Assistance Program, sorry, Survivor Dependent Education Assistance Program.
It's a lot of DEA. Government acronyms.
Yeah. And then, of course, DEA doesn't cover the S, so why is there not an S in there? So what is this program? This program is only for your dependents, but it's for all of your dependents. But the requirement with this one is a pretty high bar. You have to be 100% permanent and total VA disability rating. So if you're out there with 100% disability rating, make sure it's 100% permanent total. If you do have that, then all of your children and your spouse are qualified for Chapter 35 DEA. So this program is, again, a flat stipend, all right? Again, everything changed October 1st, but it's basically a little bit over $1,500 a month. So it's 36 months of benefits. So every month they go to school, they get a flat check for that $1,500, $1,600 a month, it's a stipend to them, so they do with it what they please.
Okay.
But understand that can't be used with any of the GI bills or the VA programs simultaneously. It can be used with state programs simultaneously, but not the VA program simultaneously.
Okay.
And there's a recent change where it used to be 10 years and 12 years for a spouse and 8 years for the dependent, the children. But if you received your 100% permanent total after 1 August 2023, so if your effective date for your 100% permanent total is after 1 August 2023, there are absolutely no age requirements whatsoever. So if your children are already 40 years old when you get your 100% disability, they have their whole life to use that extra 36 months of Chapter 35.
So there's no time limit whatsoever.
No age requirement.
Okay, so prior to 2023.
Prior to that, it's 8 years from graduation for your children. And if the spouse earned it based on a disability, they have 10 years. If they also can earn it based on a death, then it's 12 years.
Okay. 8 years from high school graduation?
8 years from high school graduation, correct.
Okay.
Yep. So 8 years from high school graduation, spouse is 10 years from the date they got the 100% permanent total, or 12 years from the date the spouse died. Because you can earn this based on the service member having 100% permanent total, or if the service member dies while on active duty.
Okay.
Active duty.
Okay. So you said this cannot be used concurrent with...
Simultaneously
with...
Right.
The
other VA benefits.
The other VA benefits. Correct. But you could potentially stack them if necessary.
Yes. So you can use them concurrently.
Okay.
But you can't use them simultaneously.
Okay.
So finish your bachelor's degree with your post 9/11, the kid's post 9/11, and then use the Chapter 35 for their master's or their program management certifications or whatever.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yep.
Okay.
The big one that we didn't cover, though, is the state program. So this is a huge one, and I always get harassed because I don't know the official name of it, but it's the Disabled Veterans Dependent Tuition Fee.
Okay.
Which means if you're an Indiana resident and you have a disability, your children qualify for some type of discount. All right? So there's criteria to that. So first of all, the first thing is, it depends on what year you initially entered the service, because they change the program, all right? So if you entered the service, any service, prior to July 1st, 2011, then if you have a 0% disability rating, which is an actual rating, or higher, all of your children go to Indiana Public Schools tuition free, all right? So again, prior to 1 July, 2011, all you need is a 0% rating or higher, and all of your children, biological or adopted prior to the age of 18, go to Indiana Public Schools tuition free. Huge program, all right?
That is huge.
Very.
And that's just in the state of Indiana, correct?
That's only schools in the state of Indiana, and that's only if you are an Indiana resident of Indiana, which requires 5 years, or if you enlisted in Indiana as your home of record.
Okay.
All right. So those are the two criterias. And what's very interesting is that benefit, those children can use that benefit up to the age of 33, which is very unique. I don't know where 33 came from, but that's very unique.
That is unique, yeah.
So now let's talk about those service members out there or veterans that enter the service after July 1st, 2011. So for them, they have to still have at least a 0% rating, right? Which is a rating. Just, you know, 0% means you did apply and you got approved, but you got approved at a 0% level. All right, that's a different class. So all of your children get a 20% discount for their tuition, all right? But whatever your disability rating is, you add that percentage on to 20, and that's the discount of fees that your children get. So if you get a 50% disability rating, that means all of your children get a 70% discount to go to school.
Okay.
So obviously, if you get an 80% or higher, then you're back to 100%.
Right.
But so it's 20% plus your rating.
Okay, so 2011 is the cutoff date for that change.
July 1st, 2011.
Okay, July 1st, 2011.
Yep.
That's good to know.
Yeah, very important.
Okay. With the state benefits, can you use state benefits alongside federal benefits?
Yes, that's where you can double dip. So that Chapter 35 and the state benefits, the so again, it only pays tuition, right? So if you're one of the lucky or unlucky service members or veterans that your children qualify for the 100% because your disability rating, and you gave your children the post 9/11, well, if you have 100% post 9/11, it's going to pay 100% tuition. So you wouldn't want to use your state program with that simultaneously because you're using two and there's no benefit.
Right.
So you definitely wouldn't want to use those together. Now, if you only had 50 or 60% post 9/11 and then use the state program, now all of a sudden you cover 100% tuition. So that would be a very viable option.
Yeah, that's really cool how you can do that.
Yep. So you really have to talk to an expert to find out which program you want to use,
mm-hmm.
which one you want to use first, which one you want to double dip, which ones you don't want to double dip.
Mm-hmm.
And as an example, scholarships. So you may be out there and you have all these different programs you got to figure out. And then you're like, okay, well, my kid's got a $10,000 scholarship from Boy Scouts, so I'm going to use that $10,000 to cover room and board. Okay. So every scholarship, I was a director of veteran services at Miami University for 6 years. So not only do I know the programs, I know what happens when they're at school. So just so you know, a scholarship comes with two basic rules. Is it tuition only, or can you use it for tuition and expenses? So, and I use the word scholarship very loosely. So if you have money that's dictated tuition only,
mm-hmm.
and you're in a situation where you have 100% tuition already paid, and then you have a $10,000 scholarship, you might as well take that $10,000 scholarship and give it back to that organization so they can give it to somebody else.
Who can use it?
Because that money is going to be taken before the government money. So they're going to take the Boy Scout money. Uncle Sam's going to save money, so just give it back to the Boy Scouts.
Right.
If it's tuition only, you don't get that money back. Like some students will apply for student aid, and they'll get, you know, the Pell Grant, and their tuition's all paid for, and then they get all that Pell Grant back. That's because the Pell Grant can be used for tuition and expenses. So it's very important you understand if your scholarship is tuition only or tuition and expenses.
Okay.
So that's a general overview of education, and it sounds like a lot, but
that
really
is a lot.
Just scratched the surface.
I'm sure. Do you ever get tired of answering questions because there's so many questions?
Never.
I'm curious, how does Indiana stack up compared to other states as far as military benefits?
Yeah, we are way above and beyond over the average.
Okay.
It's amazing because, like I said, I have six different states. And I won't tell you which states don't have great benefits,
right.
But there are some that literally just rely on the VA to issue veterans benefits. So to have these benefits, and we haven't even talked about all the other state benefits that Indiana gives. We're just talking about education benefits.
Right.
So, yeah, you're definitely privileged to have the support for veterans in the state of Indiana, without a doubt.
Because location is such a huge thing for military members when it comes to planning out your military career as well as your retirement.
Yeah.
So
taxes, we haven't talked
yes,
about taxes,
no.
property taxes, income taxes.
Because income taxes for military current members and veterans, correct, that has changed
and
recently.
Retirees.
Yeah,
it's not taxable.
Okay.
Yeah, your military income is not state taxed anymore.
And that goes for active as well as Guard and Reserve.
That's correct.
And retired. Wow,
that's
a huge benefit.
Huge benefit.
I think there's only a few other states that have that benefit, I think.
There are states out there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's hit and miss. It's very hit and miss. Like, we just got to the point we transitioned in over years. So now we're at the 100%. For a while, we didn't do it at all. And then we started doing portions of it. Now it's 100%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So Indiana is definitely at the top of the stack for military benefits. And is there anything that you'd like to see that Indiana doesn't have yet that you'd like to see us have?
Well, there's some things that the veterans are doing behind the scenes every day. For example, I told you how the date changed for the July 1st, 2011, where it changed from 100% down to a discount. Yeah, we're actively trying to get that rolled back. So that's just one example.
Okay.
Property tax. So there's a discount for property tax, but if you read the fine print, it's for property that's valued at $250,000 or less. Well, currently, you know, most property is $250,000 or more based on property tax value. So that hasn't been changed in more than a decade. So we're trying to get that raised as well. So those are just two things that we're working on.
Wow, I didn't know about that property tax.
Oh yeah,
deduction.
Property tax.
Okay.
Yeah. So wow. I don't know the verbatim, but I think the first $25,000 is non-taxable.
Okay.
And then if you're over 65, 100% permanent total, there's different rules to it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you have a VA disability rating, you definitely need to look into the property tax. We can talk about that at a different different class.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're in Indiana and you have a question and you can't find a resource or you want to reach out to me, my work email is jsmith1. I say again, jsmith1 at GAP, G-A-P-S-I. So GAPSI, G-A-P-S-I. So Golf Alpha Papa Sierra India.com. So jsmith1 at GAPSI.com, and I'll reach out to you. And most things we can take care of on the phone. You know, you don't have to worry about traveling down here to the Indy area to see me. We just talk on the phone or talk on email.
Thanks, JP. This has been really valuable information. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to all of us about it.
Thank you. I love taking care of service members.
Thank you. We'll do this again.
This is the official podcast of the 122nd Fighter Wing. Views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the 122nd Fighter Wing, Air National Guard, or United States government. No endorsement of any person or business is ever intended.